So I thought we didn't need to introduce ourselves a minute ago because we can introduce ourselves with the group. So I'll start with me. I was with New Regency. I was a physical production executive, and I was always dealing with the issues of security from the filmmaker's point of view, and quite frustrated with the lack of guidance and lack of information, and became involved with the CDSA and have been trying to come up with things like these production security guidelines ever since. Cyril.
So in a previous life, I was, as I said before, then working with like Turner like Broadcasting, and I was like tasked to like look into the like creation of production security like policies, and did like end up seeking a lot of help from all of my peers in the like industry. As like explained, there were some high differences between some of the productions in terms of the security when it was either extremely present or totally absent. And the like, discrepancies were not just bad for us, but they were also bad for the crews. That like we'd have to learn so many tricks just based on where they were working that day. So I then asked the like CDSA to like basically help us and help me create my first like policy by then creating that like work group.
So hi everyone, I'm Jacqueline Canag. I've been at Paramount for 4 years now. I'm head of content security, and I have an amazing team of women that all work for me. And I've been in this type of industry for about 12 years now, doing everything from anti-piracy to tech consulting, platform development, and predominantly now in the last few years, really heavily involved in the production security side.
Hi everyone, I'm Alex Nada. I'm the CTO at Shift. Our platforms are increasingly used now for daily sharing, and so I think I fit more into the virtual assets side, in particular the part that has tentacles over to that nasty internet thing that we sometimes use to share stuff, and that's kind of my angle on production.
And I think the focus here is in fact on the virtual, in the sense that the industry has been quite good at physical security for a long time. We've taken securing the physical aspects of our cast and of our sets quite seriously for a very long time. And we're just learning to cope with the virtual security of it all, much like every industry. I think most of us believe that it begins and ends with people. Cyril, Jacqueline, do you feel like there's been an improvement, and do you feel like we're honing our message to get through? Do you feel, you know, over the past few years, we weren't getting through to the production crew? Do you feel like that's changing, and have you found ways to make them understand better than before?
I would say it's definitely improved over the last few years, especially for us in the last, 12 to 18 months. We, make it a point to go on set, to go at the meetings, at the writer's room. We get involved really, really early, not just to talk about the content security, but also talk about them as people and their digital security, trying to make them feel more secure in their everyday lives, knowing that then they will carry that through with our assets and our content. We even go as far, we kind of consider almost like brand protection in a way, where we want all these folks to come back and work on future Paramount projects. We want them to be doing these deals with the other networks that we're producing amazing TV content for. So we're trying to go above and beyond just the traditional content security, audiovisual perspective, to really cover everything so that they actually will do what we're asking them to, and they will come to you the moment something goes wrong because they feel like you're more of a friend and less of like a police officer.
I think that Jackie has done an amazing job in terms of all the like production crews, all the way up. Where we have still seen some lack of progress is often at the very top, and often it's still the very senior executive that will get that last copy or that first copy that sometimes demands. I think we like share that good story where the like executive demands an unencrypted, unaccredited file to be then sent to his admin to be then put on his iPad that doesn't have a PIN because PINs are complicated. Like thanks to Jacqueline, stubbornness, yes, it was great. No, we then avoided that. So we then changed that. We like avoided it, we then removed it, and we like remained very like, secure in the like virtual world. So that was really, really good.
I do agree that I think the efforts to make people understand the link between their personal security and their work security, and then the security of their work product, it's all interrelated. And I do think the environment that we're in, where you know everyone's being told you need to multi-factor for your bank, you need to multi-factor, you know, you need to put a PIN on your phone just to protect yourself. I think that is helping us to make them understand. It is interesting that the rank and file are starting to understand better than some of our senior executives. Yeah. Alex, you and I were talking the other day. One of the things that I was interested about what you mentioned is the feedback you're getting from your end users. Because you're one of the platforms that people choose it because it does secure the media. And it creates, you know, it's holding the media in a box. They have to access it in that box in a secure manner. What is the feedback you're getting from your end users, and what's working for them and what's not working for them as far as that experience?
One of the things we see that's changed really recently is that these mobile devices have become a lot more sophisticated. And people really get attached to them, they're comfortable with them. In addition, the controls have gotten better, right? So that's part of the feedback we're getting. People constantly want more support, better support on mobile. They want extreme ease of use. And what we're finding is that now, finally, with some of these controls like biometrics on all the devices, we're able to keep it secure and still make it that easy to use.
Okay. How many are trying to do mobile device management with Crew? How many people are managing Crew or dealing with Crew access to information in the audience? No one.
One.
And are you trying to use mobile device management? Yeah. Of our two people in the audience dealing with Crew, are you trying to issue email accounts? Yeah, good. Because that's another one we recommend. I mean, the two things that I think we most highly recommend is a production email unique to the show and mobile device management installed on the devices. How about, this is addressed in the guidelines, it's addressed in our one sheet, the concept of least privilege. How are you trying to promote, create that idea of least privilege?
I mean, I guess a good phrase is saying it's like, you know, what do you need to know to actually do your job versus what you need to have access to? So giving examples to different departments when you're actually explaining that, like if you might need to know that the character's name is, you know, Johnny Lee Miller, but you don't need to know what his costume is going to look like to do your job. So it's really just giving them the exact amount of information they need to do their work without it creating like a creative issue, without oversharing.
Right. And my experience with that thus far has been there's been a lot of resistance to it. Have you found any methods for easing the resistance to it? I mean, part of it is the management of it is a little bit complex.
There's some expectations kind of the management, but there's like also the like human aspect, because we all want to know, we all want to just like be the first one to know. I've been like facing some, you know, some like examples where our sales team is informed like about of some of the scripts or the characters before our dubbing team, and so that is a massive problem, but that's just because they just asked for that very strongly. The idea here is to flip it and to just explain you don't need to know wasn't in this, you're not on the critical path, and that's not easy. It's a very personal work. You have to just enforce it, at least in my day-to-day job. And you can like also use escalation or make them people jump high enough. You know, if you want to get access to this and that, you need to get an exception from your, put the name here, EVP, SVP, president. And until you have have that, you will not look at it.
In your system, I mean, obviously in all the asset management systems online, there is privileged access, and it can be loose or it can be strict. How difficult is it to manage that?
I think least privilege is kind of expensive because you have to figure out what access is actually required. That puts a lot of work on the admins, whoever is actually managing the permissions. And what we found is that usually what we're recommending to customers as they're working that out is that they need a really good way to sort of break the glass, temporary access, unblock the work. Because the danger is that if you tighten down on that too tight and you're off by a little, you can mess up.
No, and you also will create a shadow IT as soon as
I think Alex made a good point. It's not all shows are always created equally. One of my favorite people at the last place I used to work at would say that he loves all of his TV shows, but some more than others. And I think, you know, that really, it helps that there's certain shows where you don't need to lock down the access to every piece because the risk of it getting out, if it's based off of a book or if it's not something that people are going to try to actively seek, is very different than your $100 million show that the whole world is trying to find out everything about. So you have to be smart about how you're putting in these access control rights so that you're not being ridiculous on shows that don't warrant it.
It's a constant balance, yeah. It's a give and take, and it's usability versus security. It's so classic.
Another area, I mean, it's interesting because least privilege in the physical space is something, again, we've been doing for ages. We've had areas on set that have been private. We've had offices that have been private. So I do think there are, again, parallels that can be made to explain to crew why certain things are going on, certain limitations are being made. The management, I think, is the biggest obstacle to creating a clear least privilege program. Another area that's interesting is helping them to understand the perimeter, defining the new perimeter. Jacqueline, what is the perimeter today? Of just where everything, where, like we used to be able to define our perimeter. It was our production space. It was, but now our perimeter is, it's everywhere. Is there any? Do you have any training in that or any work with that so they understand?
With the perimeters, I mean,
yeah.
The hard part is that each production has to be treated differently because you gave those great pictures before where it might be very simple. You're in a sound stage, or you're in a studios, maybe like a remote part of Australia, or you could be in downtown LA, where you've got your unit base and everywhere else, like literally spread everywhere across the city. So it's really just kind of explaining to everybody that it's where people are located, where any assets might be stored, making sure that trucks aren't being left by themselves, that we have the right, you know, physical security controls in place, but that it could be literally anything and anything, anywhere at this point, depending on the show.
I mean, I think one thing I'd like to say to producers is that part of the perimeter is their phone. You know, that they need to understand that their phone is a doorway. and you know that the perimeter is not the perimeter that they used to conceive. It's every person, and it's every place that they go. And it's the cloud and everything else. Anyway, Well, Alex wasn't involved in the guidelines, but he's an interesting contributor as far as he's a vendor. Are there any questions about what we've been trying to pull together as far as production guidelines and steps forward to educate the the people not in this room.
I was just gonna add one thing that we've seen is like to be really successful over the last year is that it's not just saying you have to have like a visitor policy. It's here's the memo that you can then send out to everybody. Here is the form that all you have to do is stick your show logo, change the contact information. So it's providing all of the little bits and parts that go along with what you're asking so that the production office staff just literally has to press go and they don't actually have to think. You're not adding extra work to their day. Because you really don't know what you're going to get with the production office staff. You might have some amazing people, and you have others who are like, why are you making me do all this?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the things in the guidelines, in the tips and recommendations, is we try to highlight where what needs to be done is actually already being done. They just need to realize they can use it for more than the original purpose. There's a lot of overlap, but that they don't need to do more work to work securely. Cyril, do you have any final notes? Well, we're making up time then.
Yes.
Any questions?
Any question?
Yeah, I think that's right. It. Thank you, panelists. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Cyril. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, Alex. Fantastic job.